Hello. Welcome to Guided Meditations, Volume 2. Meditation upon death and dying, and the impermanent, not-self nature of the human body. This is Ajahn Acharlo. So if you are not a long-term Buddhist practitioner, after one glance at the table of contents for this CD, you might be forgiven for thinking that you had come across something rather macabre and gruesome. Even long-term Buddhists might be a little surprised. And so right from the outset, the contents that I have arranged here will probably need some qualifying. It is important for me to say that this material, which is all about the theme of death and dying, has been presented with a certain type of Buddhist meditation practitioner specifically in mind. And it has been produced with the noble intention of hopefully being an aid and an encouragement to assist such meditators in the process of cultivating a very particular type of wisdom, namely, a deepening understanding and awareness of the impermanence and uncertainty of life, both the lives of others as well as the life of ourselves. It is important that this material be understood within this context. And it is equally important that the individual meditators who are approaching this material be well prepared for this type of wisdom practice. Death meditation is potentially profound and transformative, as attested to by many experienced meditators, but naturally it must be carried out with great care. Before talking in more detail about the actual contents of this CD, I would like to say some more general words about the process of developing insight and cultivating meditation skills. In general, I would strongly recommend that a meditation practitioner has considerable experience in practicing breath meditation and has also cultivated peaceful and calming practices such as loving-kindness meditation for some time before exploring death meditation deeply, because the mind of a meditator will need to be somewhat acquainted with qualities such as stability and collectedness, and also be possessed of some resilient well-being, before death meditations can be truly beneficial. It is also very helpful if the practitioner has been sincerely practicing generosity and has been making a genuine effort with ethical precepts as a preparation for this practice, as these practices support the overall strength and well-being of the mind. Being possessed of sound mental health is also important, because before we undertake this powerful wisdom practice in a deliberate and disciplined way, we need to feel some true confidence that our own foundation in the Buddhist path is strong enough for us to go deeper. For beginning meditators, if you do not feel sure that you are ready for in-depth meditation upon death and dying, or Maranānusati, as it is known in the Pali language, it's fine to carry on cultivating other practices first. Feel free to listen to the Dharma talks and the readings contained on this CD for now, as a way of becoming more familiar with the subject, and come back to the meditations when you feel more confident. For those who would like to give more attention to the important foundation practices, you might be interested in exploring another series of talks and guided meditations, which I carefully and purposely produced before this one, covering the practice of breath and loving-kindness meditations in depth. That CD, titled Guided Meditations Volume 1, is also available through Dharma Threads. Of course, for experienced meditators, many of you will have been cultivating various Buddhist meditations for a long time before coming across this CD, and many of you will already be well aware of the purpose and value of death meditations. You may have been practicing Maranānusati with various methods for a long time. But wherever you are in your practice, I offer the material here as an encouragement, and I sincerely hope that some of what I have presented may prove to be useful to you. And so now I will talk a little about the specific contents in this collection. I have presented the material on this CD in an intentionally gradual order. To help in clarifying and qualifying the practice of Maranānusati, we begin with a talk that contains quotes about this subject and the wisdom that it gives rise to from the Lord Buddha himself, as well as other wise practitioners such as Ajahn Chah. Hearing this practice being praised and encouraged by such wise beings helps to give rise to confidence. This talk explains why we do these meditations and gives some pointers as to what we are aiming for in the meditation itself. For people who wish to contemplate the words of the Buddha and other great masters further, I have included several readings of suttas, as well as relevant excerpts from Dharma talks around the theme of death and dying. These can all be found in section 1, which I have called Establishing the Context. I do recommend listening to these talks and readings before beginning the meditations. In section 2, we begin our meditations. All of the meditations in this series begin with some body sweeping and breath meditation to assist in establishing present moment body-based mindfulness, and then slowly move into the contemplation. The first meditation explores body sweeping and breath meditation more exclusively and introduces the theme of impermanence in a gentle, reflective way. Feel free to do this meditation a lot first, as all of the following meditations build on its structure. The following two meditations in the second section introduce the theme of death in a similarly gentle way. It would be good to spend some time on these two sections first, as a way of priming and preparing the mind with care, before taking a more confronting look at the various ways that you could actually die. Sections 3 and 4 are all meditations which contain instructions to visualize a particular scenario in which oneself inevitably dies. I have presented these because I believe that it is both helpful and important to learn ways to make death reflection profoundly relevant. Although the actual scenarios might not gel perfectly with the details of your own life, hopefully these meditations will demonstrate some methods by which you can make death reflection real for yourself. With time, you will learn how to bring to mind, within the parameters of formal meditation, pertinent examples for yourself. The meditations in section 4 are perhaps a little more shocking or challenging than those in section 3. I felt that these should be included because, unfortunately, it is quite possible that when our time comes, our death could actually be shocking, intense, or violent, although I certainly hope that it won't be. By meditating sincerely in these ways, becoming both more familiar and more accepting of the inevitable yet uncertain manner of our own death, it is hoped that we might be developing some wisdom and at the same time be preparing ourselves to be more equanimous when our death actually does come. Different people will get different results with various approaches, and naturally, different examples will seem more believable to different people. Please be assured that in all of these visualizations, I have taken care to lead the meditator into the scenario gently. Although we can never be sure that we will die with a peaceful mind, in all of these imagined death scenarios, you will find yourself dying with a peaceful mind. After the title of the meditations on the contents page, you can read in parenthesis whether the character in the meditation is a layperson or a monastic, specifically a monk or a nun. For those of you who are sympathetic and imaginative, you might enjoy the meditations which were intended primarily for Sangha, even if you are not a monk or a nun. You can always give them a go and see. In section 5, we explore a meditation which has been adapted from the Visuddhimagga, an ancient commentarial text. This charnel ground meditation is not for those with a weak heart or a weak stomach. But some of you will be interested to know that many great meditation masters have experienced profound results specifically through undertaking this kind of deep contemplation. Sincerely imagining oneself as having died usually has a pronounced calming effect upon the mind. When we deepen this contemplation to see the discarded body as being made up of elements which do not belong to a self and in fact never belonged to a self, and imagine those elements dissolving and dispersing, a lot of attachment and identification can be uprooted. If you feel ready, you can give this one a try. But if you find that this meditation doesn't seem to work for you just yet, simply leave it aside. In general, it would be good to go through the sections in the order that I've presented them in, gently acquainting the mind with this subject and deepening insight. There are many ways to contemplate death and dying. My own character is quite creative and empathic, and these meditations will naturally reflect this. Essentially, what I am trying to present here are several methods by which one can contemplate death. Of course, everyone will have to experiment and see what works best for them. Once you become adept at really considering the ways that you truly could die, you will be able to bring to mind the examples and scenarios which are most relevant to your life. We do this to stay focused and to live our lives carefully and skillfully. And we do it to deepen wisdom and weaken unskillful attachments and delusion on the path towards liberation. And so on that note, I would like to wish you every success. May you be well, may you be happy, may you be very wise.